Three of the greatest and most appreciated traits exhibited by Lutheran pastors as they relate to the people that they are called to serve are faithfulness, love, and encouragement. Certainly these traits come to mind when we think of the ministries of men like Martin Luther, C.F.W. Walther, Walter A. Meyer, Oswald Hoffman, and the faculty who serve right here at Concordia Seminary. But we would all confess that the gold standard of faithfulness, love, and encouragement has already been set by our God and delivered to us all on the pages of Holy Scripture. This comes through loud and clear in our scripture lesson for today. The words of our text were originally written by the Apostle Peter by the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit to fortify young in the faith Christians who all of a sudden were experiencing persecution because of their loyalty to Jesus Christ. Earlier, Peter had told them that this opposition shouldn't surprise them. In fact, they should expect it. After all, their master, our Savior, Jesus Christ, had suffered. And no servant is greater than his master. On this side of heaven, we will all share in trouble. Now, at the end of the letter, Peter lays out a three-step strategy for dealing with difficult and troublesome times of any kind. He encourages his readers, he encourages you and me to trust God, resist Satan, and expect God's help. Difficult and challenging times. Interesting. Perhaps this could be an effective strategy for the person preparing to enter the office of the ministry. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. What does it mean exactly to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God? I suppose that we could go a number of directions with this question, but basically it means to recognize that God is in control of our lives and to humbly accept what he, in his wisdom, brings into them. Even in our darkest moment, we can trust God. Why? Romans 8:32 provides the answer. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Yes, the cross of Jesus Christ is the definitive an undeniable expression of God's love for us. We are redeemed, restored, forgiven. We are heirs of heaven. Therefore, we are confident of his control in accepting of what he sends into our lives as his gracious will for us, his beloved, blood-bought children. In this confidence, you and I live with the promise that at the proper time, he may exalt you. The proper time is the right time, God's time. Here we have the assurance that at the right time, God will deliver us. This is true for this world and for the next. In this world, God richly and daily strengthens us, lifts us up, exalts us, if you will, with his grace, through word and sacrament. Heaven is the ultimate lifting up of the humble. Even if God does ask us to walk a rocky road in this life, we know that the greatness of God's glory that's in store for us is far beyond what the Apostle Paul refers to as the light and momentary troubles of this life. Our text continues with these important words. casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. What God is saying here is that he does not want his children to be human storehouses filled with accumulated problems and worries. Trouble is going to come into our lives. But with these words, God suggests that we move them out as fast as they hit the loading dock. In essence, he invites his children to be shipping terminals rather than warehouses. In other words, get rid of the baggage and get rid of it quickly. God's word of loving encouragement to us then is this: we can trust him in any and all situation, and we are to see all the circumstances of life in the loving shadow of the cross of his son Jesus. But God also knows that such confidence, especially in difficult times, will not come to us uncontested. And so his second word of encouragement to us is this: resist the enemy. Peter writes, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith." Here's the connection between this verse and the last one. At the times in life when we must trust God the most, trust him that he is living, trust him that he is active, trust him that he is in control of all things, that is also the time when Satan will try his hardest to derail us. Therefore, Peter's warning: be self-controlled and alert. Why? Because the devil's on the loose. And just like a lion who seeks out that animal that becomes separate from the herd, or the animal that's weakened, so Satan waits to attack us when he perceives that we are at our weakest or most anxious. So how do we deal with his tactics? Peter says that we must resist him. How? By standing firm in our faith. Faith in what? Faith in God's promise that he loves us with an everlasting love. Faith in God's declaration that he will daily provide us with the strength necessary to endure. Faith in the gospel that tells us that our sins are forgiven and that the difficulties we go through in life are not punishment for past indiscretions. Standing firm in faith is also another call from God, a call to you and me personally, to stay connected with him, closely connected to him, through word and sacrament. Peter then reminds us that we're not alone in all of this. He writes, "Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." Satan would like to have us think that we're the Lone Ranger, that we're the only ones that God is allowing to go through trial and trouble. But that's not true. Other believers endure the same things we do, and God is helping all of us. This is Peter's final word of encouragement to us. We can expect God's help. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. There are just a couple of things I need to make clear here. One is the reminder of who we are. We are those who have been called to eternal glory in Christ Jesus. This is our identity. We are God's children. He called us and chose us to be his own. And this is his promise to us. Because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, we can look forward to eternal glory. That's not a faint hope or wish or dream. That's reality. And it's backed up by Him who has the power and the dominion forever and ever. Secondly, whatever we're asked to endure on this earth has a limited shelf life. Our difficulties and the things that often cause us to become discouraged only last a little while, meaning a lifetime at the most. And even a lifetime, which may seem like a long time to us, is but a drop in the bucket when talking about eternity. The day will come, maybe on earth, maybe in heaven, when God will restore us and make us strong, firm, and steadfast. The bottom line? The God who loves us and redeems us promises to be there and to help us through the rough spots of life and the rough spots of ministry. There are scores of passages in Scripture that give us the assurance of His abiding presence in life. So Peter's third and final word of encouragement to us is this: expect God's help because He's promised it. Now, I began this sermon by recalling the depth of a pastor's capacity for faithfulness, love, and encouragement toward the people he serves. Great as that is, God's is surpassingly greater. Therefore, may the loving encouragement that you and I have received today through His Word, the encouragement to always trust God and to see everything in the loving shadow of the cross, the encouragement to resist Satan's attempts to doubt God's love, and the encouragement to expect the help and relief that comes from God because He promises it, give us peace and strength as we continue our lives of service to Him and His people. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts, minds, and lives in sure faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.